Good morning, everyone, and I commend all of you for making it out here this morning. It's a beautiful sunny day outside, and from inside it looks like it could be a very nice day, and then once you look at the temperature and you see it's minus 32 this morning, well, we're thankful that we can be inside. And I guess for those people who didn't make it, they probably forgot to plug their vehicles in this morning, so we'll have to forgive them for that. But welcome to all of you who could come out here for this service this morning. Does anybody have any announcements that they'd like to make? If so, then please come up and do it now. Ingrid.
I just wanted to say we started with a young couples class. There were some married for 30 years already. Some that were for three, some own less than one, and some that aren't even engaged, and some that whatever. They had the whole range. So if you're interested in building a relationship, you can come and join us again next week.
Thanks, Ingrid. Turning to our announcements, the youth retreat or the church retreat's coming up February 8th to 10th, so take note of that. Tim Weeb has decided to undergo further chemo treatments. So let's continue to pray for him and his family as they go through that. There's other people, Tenley and Nettie and their families, Austin and Dave Rempel as he continues his recovery from knee replacement surgery. Also, our various governments in our world, let's continue to remember them. With all the things that are going on in the world, they do need our prayers, even if sometimes we don't agree with what they're doing, but we need to allow God to work through them. Other than that, I think you can look at the announcements and take note of them as they pertain to you. I guess one thing I wanted to look at was from the Finance Committee. The third week in January, and we're still in the black. Praise the Lord! How often do you see that during the year? We don't often see these positive numbers, but it's good to see. And thank you to you for continuing to support the church in that way. For a call to worship this morning, I would like to read one verse out of 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God wants you to do, and he will bless you for it. Ivana and I were at the Winkler Berchtaler Church on Wednesday, and we listened to Kevin and Julia Garrett speak about their time in captivity in China. They had a very fascinating story. They were accused of being spies, even though they had been in China for almost 30 years working unofficially as missionaries, which was not against the law. They had become involved in several different businesses as well as a coffee shop. Out of the blue, one day the police came and they arrested them and took them and put them into solitary confinement where they spent 6 months. They were in separate cells, and there were two guards in their rooms at all times. There were cameras in the room, and the bathroom part of the room was surrounded by see-through glass. The lights were on all the time. They were interrogated for 6 hours a day, every day. They were never physically harmed, but they were constantly accused of being spies. After the 6 months, Julia was let go, but Kevin was sent to prison where he stayed in a small cell with 12 or 13 other men. His ordeal lasted 775 days. He was eventually convicted. He was sentenced to 8 years in jail, and then he was deported back to Canada. So that's how he got back home. One comment that Julia made when she was sharing really struck me. After getting over the initial shock of being arrested and spending time in solitary confinement, she decided to change her attitude about the whole situation. Instead of lamenting the position she found herself in, she would rather find a way to serve God and to serve her captors during her incarceration. It was not an easy position for her to be in. It was hard to endure the humility she faced being in a room with no privacy. It was hard being interrogated for 6 hours a day. It was hard having the lights on all the time. But somehow, with God's help, she managed to show kindness to her jailers and to try to live out her faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Don't repay evil for evil. Rather, continue to believe in and follow God and try to do His will, even when times get tough. Blessings from Him will be the result." Let's pray. Dear God, may we have an attitude of servanthood, kindness, and love as we face each day. May we be willing to be an example of who You are so others around us can see why they too should want to follow You and allow You into their lives. Amen.
Good morning. Let's join together in saying, "Come, thou fount of every blessing."
I'll call on Thaddeus Wall now to have the offering. Could I call the ushers forward for that? Thanks, Thaddeus. What a beautiful song. Let's pause for some prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come together here this morning and worship you. We thank you for each new day that you give us. We thank you for the blessings we receive from you, for daily provisions, for family and friends, for this church, and for all those who come here to worship together as part of your family. May each of us hold fast to what we have been taught, what you have taught us through your word and your life. We are being relentlessly pursued by the enemy to give up and compromise what we believe. Help us to remain strong in our faith to you. Help us to be dedicated in our commitment to continue to spread your word and bring others to you. May our lives be an example of who you are. We want to pray especially for our governments. I pray that you will be with Justin Trudeau, Donald Trump, Theresa May, and all the other leaders of this world. Open their hearts and minds so that you can work through them to bring peace and unity to the world. Help us to be willing to pray for them, even if we don't always agree with what they are doing. Give them a willingness to work together for the good of all people. I pray for all those who are going through difficult times, whether it's illness, cancer, the loss of a loved one, addiction, financial difficulties, whatever you are experiencing, may God give comfort to each of us as we try to find our way through these experiences. Thank you for this church and all those who work in it. I pray especially for Rudy as he shares your word with us this morning. Bless him, and may each of us be blessed by his words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are instructed in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, to pray continually, to rejoice, and to give thanks. As we ask God to be part of our lives in all circumstances, we will become more tuned in to how He wants us to handle those circumstances. Are we going to handle the situation with grace, with love, with forgiveness? What is His will for us in that situation? We want to react the way Jesus would, and so we need to open our eyes and look at things the way Jesus does. We need to praise Him and trust Him as He gives us direction. Please stand as we sing the next block of songs. We'll begin with Be Thou My Vision.
Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty prey. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure thou art. King of Heaven, when victory is won, may I reach Heaven's joys, O bright Heaven's Son. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of.
The next song we'll divide into two parts. I will lead the west side, balcony join the west side, and Jamie will lead this the east side. And let's praise our Lord together.
I will worship
with all of my heart.
With all of my heart,
I will praise you with all of my strength.
All my strength,
I will seek you with all of my days.
All of my days,
and hail you as King.
I
Thank you. You may be seated.
Morning. Our scripture today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 to 24. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
I would like to begin with a special thank you to those who left the cupcakes after the club's program for Jerry and myself. I don't know about Jerry's, but mine was really delicious. It was good. Jerry wasn't here that morning, so he never ended up getting his. I know someone who ate it, but it wasn't me. I know who it was, but it wasn't me. Did I already say it wasn't me? Now you believe me? A couple of leftover items from Christmas that I just can't quite get out of my head from Phil Calloway. The boy asked his father, you know, can I get a cat for Christmas? And his dad says, no, you're having turkey like the rest of us. Not sure what the child said in response to that. Or the fellow who wanted to quit all of his bad habits at the beginning of a new year, but then he thought, nobody likes a quitter, so he changed his mind. We come this morning to pay tribute to the God that we worship, the God who has called us together to be the church here in this place, to the God who has promised to be with us and to lead us on. At the same time, if we believe that God is leading us on, how do we know that what we're doing is what God wants us to be doing? And if we are not doing it, how do we know what it is that we should be doing? Do you ever struggle with the whole question of doing God's will? So you're in grade 12 and you're wondering, what should I do next year? Where should I go? What should I study, or what should I work, or where should I go? You're considering marriage. Is this the partner that God is telling me that I'm supposed to be living with for the rest of my life, or is this not? Is this the job I'm supposed to be doing, or should I consider something else? How did you land up being where you are today? Did you have a sense in some way that God has led you to where you are and what you're actually doing? How did that come to be? I believe most people who are sincere want to do what's right. They want to do the will of God, but how do you know what it is? It's like somebody said, it's hard enough to do the will of God without trying to figure out what it is. In a world that is often confusing, where different voices cry out for our allegiance, sometimes everything isn't always very clearly spelled out, and sometimes it seems like God is quite silent. Where does that leave us? Abraham Lincoln said it best when he said, in the midst of the Civil War, he is quoted as saying, everybody is telling me what God's will is for my life and what I should be doing. I wish God would be so kind as to tell me what his will is. I'm just not hearing it. I don't know what it is. So where do we go for direction? If we go to the scriptures to start there, I find a lot of references to the will of God, but I find the conclusions rather surprising. A few examples. John chapter 4 in our bulletin, Jesus says, I came to this earth not to do my own will, but I came to do the will of the one who sent me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. In chapter 6 in that same book, in John chapter 6 in verse 38, he says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then he says, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In Matthew 12, Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my brother and sister and mother. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul admonishes the church in Ephesus and he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He doesn't say it directly, but I think he gives a lot of examples in Ephesians 4 and 5, if you read that. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's a big word. But it means to be set apart and to be equipped for worship and for service. It means that Christ's risen life is reproduced in us so that we can imitate the character of God and live a life of holiness. It means we're cleansed from sin, we have a clear conscience. 1 John 2:17, the world passes away and the lust of it, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. And then in Revelation 4, verse 11, the 24 elders are worshiping and saying to the one on the throne, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And then he says, by your will they existed and were created. I just find it interesting that if you link that verse with what goes on in Genesis 1, where God comments after creation and says, it was very good, and you put that together with by his will we are created, then certainly what God creates is not junk. God creates for a purpose, and God creates for something that's pretty important for each one of us. We are created in that image of God, and by God's will, we exist. To our text, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. And why does he say we should do that? For that's the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. The words constantly and always intensify those acts. Rejoice always. Joy here does not require happy circumstances. Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness comes and goes. It depends on circumstances and whether the weather is good or whether it's not. I'm really happy or I'm sad. That comes and goes. Joy is something that is underneath a solid foundation that is not dictated by circumstances. An active cultivation of a joyful spirit opens the way for the Holy Spirit to empower believers for victorious living in all circumstances of life. I find one of the most striking examples of that in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, where Paul is writing to the churches and talking about the churches in Macedonia. And he says, they were under a severe test of affliction. They were extremely poor. But he said they had this abundance of joy. And out of that, they gave with great generosity to the church in Jerusalem when he was asking for help for that church. But then I think what's really instructive, he says, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. First this, then that. It flows one from the other. Pray constantly. Follow Paul's lead in his prayers for the church. He says, whenever I remember you, I pray for you. We were at the funeral for my aunt this last Wednesday in Brandon. Funeral on the very day that she had her birthday. She would have turned 95 on this day, but they arranged a funeral instead. But her son was talking at the funeral about how he had been driving on a truck driving job one time, and he had phoned his parents. He was going to be close to Brandon and staying for night, and wondered if he could just stay there for the night. And they said, sure, we got room, come on down. So he stayed for night, and in the morning they pulled out their devotional book, as they always did. And then they prayed. And they went through this long, long list of people, all the children, the grandchildren, other people, places, and things, and everything that was on their minds, they prayed. He said, like they did every morning. And he said it wasn't just something that they did that morning because he was there. This is just what they did. They prayed constantly, always. The constantly here has a lot to do with perseverance. The sense that you persevere over the long haul with something that is incredibly important. Pray constantly. And he said, do you know what it feels like to be prayed for? And to be prayed for in that way, by one's parents, by others. That doesn't just leave you. It leaves its mark in a lot of good ways. In everything, give thanks. Note the difference here. It doesn't say, for everything, give thanks. I am not thankful for everything that happens in this world. I'm not thankful for school shootings. I'm not thankful for people who take violence into their own hands and think that this is the way that God wants us to live. I'm not thankful for severe cases of mental illness or other kinds of diseases that rob people of their abilities. I don't believe God wills everything that happens. I just don't buy that. And yet, I am thankful for a God who creates and recreates, who sometimes tears things down and then rebuilds, and a God who doesn't ever give up on us. That's what I'm thankful for. So the direction we get about the will of God from scriptures doesn't seem to give us a very specific roadmap. Like, this plan fits for you, for this and this person. When you think of Jesus calling his disciples and he said to them, I want you to follow me. I don't hear him giving them a roadmap to say, well, today we're going to do this, tomorrow we're going to do that, next month we're going to be here and here and here, and here's the itinerary for this following after. He says, no, no, no. He says, follow me. I want you to learn from me. Well, what is that? I don't know. We'll find out. You follow me. We'll figure it out. You'll know. It doesn't talk about if you don't find the exact plan for your life, then that area of work will remain forever undone. I think God is just a whole lot bigger than that. What it does talk about is conforming ourselves to the will of God by nurturing our relationship with God through rejoicing, through praying, and giving thanks. What it does revolve around is the notion that the will of God has to do with our openness on our part to allow God to transform our mind, our attitude, our thinking, so that our character begins to reflect this character of God. That is so foundational for doing the will of God. God desires a life of holiness in all that we are and do. But it still leaves us with a question. Beyond this, how do we know specifically what God wants us to do? And the short answer is, if we're in tune with God, then God will show us. Or to put it another way, if we move in the direction of the will of God, as suggested in Scripture, then we will find the purpose of God fulfilled in our lives. I remember a video I watched about a woman named Elaine some years ago. She grew up with the notion, and a very strong notion, that to whom much is given, much is demanded. Life is a balance. There's good, there's not so good, and you have to make sure that you live your life as a balance, and you have to make sure you weigh all that. And I found in her life there wasn't room for a lot of grace. But this thought came to me. It's a little bit like how we talk about the weather, don't we? Like, if there's a stretch of really good weather, let's say in December, where it's plus 10, let's say, and what do people say about that? They say, we're going to have to pay for that, aren't we? That's not right. It's going to even out sometime. In July, it's going to freeze. That's what's going to happen. And we got to balance this out. And you just don't get anything for free here, especially in Manitoba. Not a lot of grace. What if we just enjoyed that 10 degrees in December and said, we're just going to really enjoy this? Come whatever may, I like this. See, Elaine always wondered when the payment was going to be coming due. So she lived her life. That's a tough way to live. She had a good job. She had a number of volunteer involvements. Her life was full and productive. She thought she'd like to get some kind of a pay position in the church somewhere, but that all fell through and didn't work out. And she kept on wondering about her life until one day when she was doing the dishes. She was so exasperated with all this question, she just asked God and cried out to God in this exasperation, what do you want me to do? And there was this voice inside her head that said to her, what if you are doing exactly what I want you to be doing? And then the question was done, and she had this peace about her, and this peace about her life, and the peace about her constant dilemma about what she should be doing. Sometimes we have the idea that unless it's really painful, it's not God's will. One of the hardest verses I ever recall praying as part of the Lord's Prayer when I was a child was, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I figured, oh my goodness, if I'm going to say amen to that, God's going to send me somewhere where I don't want to be and I don't want to go there. And God's going to get me to do something that I just really don't want to do. And it's going to be bad. Not sure why I thought that right away, but somehow, you know, there has to be some bad news mixed in with the good news. I think God's will can be a joyful experience. It can even be fun. God is not vindictive. But God always has our best intentions in mind. We're also invited to use our imaginations to ask, what would Jesus want me to do, and then go and do likewise? Do you think Mother Teresa got up in the morning, every morning, she said to her, asked herself, I wonder if Jesus wants me to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, reach out to the oppressed. I wonder if he wants me to do this. Should I be doing this? Well, she just went out and she did it. Sometimes there is paralysis in analysis. We think about this and think about it so much, and we get all tied up in knots about it, and we just paralyze ourselves to death, and we end up doing nothing. There was a drama group I saw years ago that debated about this question, and they talked about this, and they had these actors up front, and there were these two groups, and they both had a phone with them, and they were waiting for the call from God to tell them what they were supposed to do. Well, the one group got a little tired of waiting for that specific call. So they went ahead and they did a lot of what our text suggests. They went out to help the weak. They volunteered in different places. They admonished the idlers. They encouraged the faint-hearted. There's a lot of room for encouragement in our day, isn't there? There's a lot. They were patient with people. They did what they thought was right. They didn't end up repaying people evil for evil. On and on it was. And about some time ago, agreed upon time, these groups got together and they shared their experiences of what they had done. And this group talked about all of their encounters with people along the way and what they had done with their lives and where they were at this point. And the other group, they were still waiting for the call. Hadn't done anything, just waited. It's a time to wait, but in this instance, no. What are your interests? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? Those are all clues that can lead us in a direction. They provide a place to start. Who knows? Maybe it'll all get turned out around sometime, but that's okay. I know a woman who started out as a computer science major at the University of Manitoba, and then she ended up leaving all that and joined a conference for a witness program that she became the head of, and she just chalked this all up as a completely different direction in her life, but she chalked it all up as God having a real sense of humor. Sometimes God doesn't give us easy answers or plot it all out before us, because in the process of some struggle, spiritual maturity can result. I think of a fellow in that same video by the name of Joe. He got laid off from work. He had another job possibility that fell through. He became unemployed for 6 months. He lost his apartment, he was virtually homeless, and he became very impoverished. And boy, he said, was I ever sorting out a lot of personal agenda, including God's call for my life, and I couldn't figure it out. Then he ended up getting a position working for homeless people. And ironically, he had lots of advanced preparation. And he finds his work tremendously rewarding. But even more importantly, he says, I know I'm in God's place. Sometimes we don't get what we want in order for God to give us what we need. Sometimes we're called to wait patiently, also, as difficult as that is. We also need to develop the capacity to become still and listen for God's voice, even in the midst of the noise in our lives. The Quakers talk about the inner prompting of the Spirit. The voice within can be the voice of God, and when we're in tune with God, we need to listen to that voice. There's a number of winters ago, there's lots of examples, but we were on our way to Winnipeg, and I needed to pick up some cash from the bank before I left, and usually don't carry a whole lot around, but driving out of Winnipeg, you know, on Pembina Highway, then you get out onto just outside of the city, and there was a vehicle stopped. It was a bitterly cold evening. And just saying, you know, you got to stop here. You got to see what's going on. And there was a lady there who introduced herself. She was from St. Jean. She was having difficulty with the vehicle. But she had been in contact with the tow truck company who were apparently on their way. But she says, you know, I owe this guy $80 and I don't have any money with me and I got no way to pay this guy. Well, like I said, I don't carry a lot of cash usually, but I said, well, let's take a look. I opened my wallet and then because of the money I got before, and there was $80, exactly $80 in that wallet. I says, here, you need to take this and you need to get your vehicle towed, you need to be safe somewhere and you're gonna be okay. But those kind of things happen often, don't they? Does that. This is kind of how the Spirit works, different ways in different places. And I think when we get to be in tune with that, it becomes much more obvious. It's interesting what a man by the name of George said in that same video. He said, God doesn't necessarily have a plan for my life, but God has a purpose for my life. And God and I together are making the plan every day. If I've got something to do, I better get started and see how it comes out. God's going to expect me to do my part. My part in the partnership is to take the risk that I might be wrong, and that happens. But the good news the really good news goes back to forgiveness and another chance to start. Notice the element of risk that George mentions. It's tough to think back about the parable of the talents. Remember the king went on his way and he gave to one 10 talents, another 5, and another one he gave 1, and the 10 doubled his and the 5 doubled his, and the king was all pleased with these guys, and the one who had his 1, he went and buried it in the ground, and he said, I knew you to be a hard man, and you gather where you don't sow, and I was a little afraid of this, so here, I just buried it and you can have it back. Now, the king was pretty hard on him, wasn't he? He said, you wicked and slothful servant. You could have done something with this, at least, you know, put it in the bank and earn some interest. And he cast him out and took it away from him and gave it to the other person who had 10 already. Why did he do that? There could be various interpretations, but I think one that sticks with me is that this guy with the one talent, he just didn't want to take the risk. Wasn't willing to invest in the kingdom. I'm going to play it safe. I don't want to go there. I don't want to take any risks. I'm just going to bury this thing in the ground, just like an ostrich. And whatever demands come my way, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to bother. You wicked and lazy servant, take the risk. George says, I don't always know where I'm going, he says, but I know who's going with me. There isn't a specific plan, but God offers a presence, and we sit and talk about it, and we sort it all out together. God doesn't promise a roadmap, but a presence that enables us to live out a purpose. Finding out what the will of God involves a lot of reading scripture, a lot of prayer, lots of it. Listening to the inner voice, being quiet and still, using our imagination to ask, what would Jesus do? It also involves, I believe, always the company of God's people, listening to others, having others pray for us. That's just so hugely helpful. And along the way, we discover that often we have exaggerated ideas of our own importance, that really, we need to be still and allow God to show us how our lives are caught up in the larger scheme of things for this world, in God's purpose for the world, of which your life and mine have a part. Our lives are woven to something that's a whole lot larger than ourselves. And through worship and the empowering of the Spirit, we set a foundation from which God can show us what it is we are to do. Amen.
For our final song, please stand and let's sing together, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Please. and weary, help me, I pray.
Words of the benediction from 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's bow to pray. May the God of peace himself sanctify you fully, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The Lord bless you and keep you today and always. Amen.